Oh my gosh, and that theme music can mean only one thing. Welcome into the studios. It's Movies with Michael. Good morning, Michael. How are you going?
Good morning. I'm well, thanks. Back to the familiar sounding theme.
Yes, I know.
That was a strange one last week. This is a film that I would probably say that you've been purring in anticipation for about today. But I was doing some research and I found out that panthers don't actually purr.
Oh, right. What sort of noise do they make?
Don't know, but they just don't purr. Anyway, of course, we're going to be talking about Black Panther, Wakanda Forever.
Yes.
The only film coming out today, apparently.
All right, so no one's brave enough to take it on, eh?
I guess not. This is starring Letitia Wright, who was obviously in the first one. She's also been in things like Ready Player One. Angela Bassett's back. Danai Gurira pops up again. Lupita Nyong'o's there. Winston Duke. Dominic Thorne is a new character in this one. Sorry.
Yes.
And also some other new actors in this film. Tenoch Huerta and Mabel Cadena also pop up in those. They have Mexican-sounding names for reasons that will be disclosed later. This one is directed again by Ryan Coogler, whose films other than Avengers-type work is Creed. You might have caught Creed.
Yes, and Fruitvale Station.
Yes, yes. So you're onto his work. He also co-wrote the original Black Panther with Joe Robert Cole.
And it was one of those ones. It was a legitimate sort of film. Got Oscar nominations and things like
certainly
that.
Certainly did. I'm not totally sure Wakanda Forever will get Oscar nominations, but we'll find out. I'm just not sure if Wakanda Forever is a fan service film or a tribute to the iconic star of the original Black Panther, who unfortunately passed away, or if it's a cynical sort of fan-milking exercise, cashing in on a bit of goodwill towards said
star.
I guess it can be all three of those things. It has been a highly anticipated film since the original film came out.
Yeah.
I guess it starts out as a film about grief, though Shuri seems to be the only one mourning for longer than 5 or 6 minutes in this film. It starts off with the funeral and then it's pretty much down to business. Chala has obviously passed on, but Queen Mother Ramonda, played by Angela Bassett, seems to fill the power vacuum with surprisingly few objections from her mostly male counsellors.
Should I be closing my ears for any of this to avoid any spoilers?
Oh, you could do that, but I don't think anything I'm saying hasn't been given away in trailers.
Fair enough.
I'm sure you've watched again and again.
I've watched trailers multiple.
Major world powers sensing a bit of a power vacuum in Wakanda start pressuring the country for their vibranium.
Ah, yes.
Whilst they're also searching for it in the Atlantic Ocean.
Oh my gosh, the vibranium's everywhere. I thought it was only in Wakanda.
That's what the Wakandans thought. Turns out someone else does have vibranium. Enter Namor.
Oh, of course, the Submariner.
The Submariner, played by Tenoch Huerta. And apparently he had to take swimming lessons before making this film. He couldn't swim. Namor is the leader of the Tulakan underwater people, and he's a guy who likes to get his retaliation in first.
Okay, then I like that.
Yeah, so the rest of the world think Wakanda sabotaged the vibranium exploration mining things, so Wakanda's not happy, and we now sort of have a three-way beef rather than a love triangle.
Oh, so it's the world versus the Tulakans.
Well, it's the world versus Wakanda versus the Tulakan versus the world. Anyway, and also there's a young scientist caught up in the centre of the triangle as well, who everybody wants a piece of. Look, I realise the central theme of this film is grief, but it did feel like a long, hard slog through all seven stages, you know, denial, anger, depression, etc. But maybe that was just me because I was stuck in another Marvel film, a franchise which I only consider myself a casual observer of.
Yeah.
Which brings me to a question for you, Danny. What is the appeal of Marvel for you? Because I know it excites you a lot.
I think it reminds me of my childhood enjoying comics and my sort of first realization that all of these characters lived in the one universe with one another, and I thought that was really cool. And I can understand viewer fatigue at this point in time with all the crossovers and Easter eggs and the need to stick around after the credits and all of that sort of stuff. But when that first came about, like that first Avengers film and all that sort of thing, I thought, oh, this is really cool. These are characters that I've loved since I was a child, and they're now getting together on the big screen, and it doesn't suck. So that's really good. And I think they've continued a trend of, for the most part, not sucking, But I guess they've got to be mindful that at some stage people are going to get pretty tired of this and demand something else.
Yes, well, I mean, do we really need 3 or 4 Marvel films a year, especially now we're pretty much down to the second 11?
Well, I don't know about second 11. That's another thing with the comic books is there's constant reinvention of the teams and new characters taking on the mantles of old or new versions of those characters or completely new characters and things like that. I think that's one of the cool things about it. It expands that universe a bit more with these new characters. But yeah, I can see how you might sort of refer to it as a second 11.
Well, anyway, I'll keep going. Like the character of Princess Shuri, played by Letitia Wright, she goes through most of all of the above stages of grief that I mentioned before.
Yep.
And everyone else seems to have processed things, like I said, in about 5 minutes. And I guess it's more about what kind of leader Princess Shuri is going to become. Will she be angry, impulsive, and vengeful, or will she be more empathetic, thoughtful, and merciful? You'll just have to watch the film and find out. But one question I did have is why are we focused on Princess Shuri when there seems to be already someone much more capable of wearing the ears, paws, and claws? That
Sorry
being
that.
The character of Nakia, played by Lupita Nyong'o.
Yes, I don't know.
She seems like a very capable person.
I don't want to know too much about that one either because that's another thing that I want to find out.
Okay.
I want to go
well, I'm not gonna, that's all I'm going to say about that. But whilst there was a lightheartedness in the original film, possibly due to the character of T'Challa himself,
yeah.
A lot of the humour and a great deal of joy, maybe because, you know, T'Challa...
Because of the passing of Chadwick Boseman.
Because of that. It did feel like a lot of that had been sucked out of this film.
Yeah.
Comic actors Martin Freeman and Julia Louis-Dreyfus seem to be a bit wasted in this film.
Elaine's in it.
Elaine Bennis, yep. She doesn't dance.
Shazbot.
And there's no voice of Trevor Noah.
But
there are strong feminist and ethnic diversity themes throughout the film, though I'm not sure the Mayan-speaking demographic is that big these days that will be drawn to see this one. This film didn't evoke nearly as much emotion in me as Avengers Endgame, but I guess that's already been and gone. But this film does tick all the Marvel boxes, so there should be enough in this one to get the Marvel diehards and plenty of 12-year-olds out of mum's basement for a few hours. You know, it's got the fantastical space-age technology, but thankfully no enemies from space, a Rihanna-heavy soundtrack to evoke feelings, an existential threat, and the usual array of spectacular visual effects and battle scenes. You can even catch this one on 3D if you're prepared to pay a bit extra.
Oh, really? There you
and
go.
Of course, there's the post-credit scene,
putting my fingers in my ears now.
Is often the best bit, which may get viewers a little fired up.
Okay, I don't want to know, but I'm just putting my fingers in my ears now.
At 2 hours, 41 minutes, it really did feel like Wakanda would go on forever. However, my Marvel-loving plus one on this occasion and regular supplier of puns and wordplay gave it a yabumbe and described it as very impressive.
Ah, nice one. Good to know. Okay, then. Well, I'll have to avoid spoilers in the next little while for as long as I can. Movies with Michael, thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure.
Look forward to seeing you again next week.